gospel lesson this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11.
Listen for the word of God. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I am tempted this morning to bypass the sermon and just get on with the service, because I don't think anybody's going to remember anything other than that young man making his first appearance at children's sermon this morning. But I'm going to bypass that temptation and give you what is prepared for this morning. We have a lot of jokes, don't we, about temptation? I can resist anything but temptation. It's a common phrase, whether it's religious or non. I think we do that because we're nervous. We know it's not just funny, but true. And maybe by making light of giving in to temptation, it won't matter quite as much. Let me first say that there is a lot of misplaced guilt in our world. People talk about feeling guilty for all sorts of things that are not their fault. And as a society, we recognize that. What we are not good at doing is recognizing the guilt over something that we actually have done wrong. Guilt over giving into temptation and falling into sin is entirely appropriate and even helpful, isn't it? There is no forgiveness unless we recognize guilt. How can we repent of something that we don't realize was wrong? So I want to encourage you to hear the balance of this sermon, to look at your own life and see what applies and what doesn't. That's what spiritual growth is all about. Applying what fits and putting aside what doesn't. The story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness is a rich one. And it is no accident that it is the first thing that he encounters in ministry. Jesus was baptized, and no sooner was he out of the water than the Spirit of God leads him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. It is an invitation rite of sort, to initiation rite, and it takes him up a mountain. I would like to invite you to see the whole temptation process as the climbing of a mountain. With each of the three temptations, Jesus moves physically higher and higher as the tests get harder and harder. Finally, he beats them, and all the angels of God meet him on the top of the mountain to replenish his strength. Spoiler alert. Sorry. The specific temptations he defeats are not ones we often encounter. Even if we were hungry enough that we want to eat rocks or that they become bread, there are few of us who could make them edible. It's not a temptation because we couldn't really do it. As for the second temptation, aside from a few of us with superhero fantasies, we are not likely to be jumping off any tall buildings either. The final temptation might sound a bit more familiar because there is actually Satan worship in this area. This would include worship of the world, flesh, or Satan himself. I think all three temptations are examples of a larger issue that we all face. Those larger issues were just made very specific for the person of Jesus, just like they are made very specific for each of us, according to our abilities and our personalities. Conquering them is like climbing a mountain. It gets rougher, it gets harder as you get towards the top, and it takes a lot of effort. At the top of the mountain is the first type of temptation. For Jesus, it became the opportunity to turn stone into bread. I think the larger type of temptation is our general tendency to try to get nourishment from the wrong places. The prophet Isaiah asked Israel in chapter 55, "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And why do you work for things that don't bring you satisfaction?" The tendency to do that is the first level of temptation. In that category are most of the things that society generally terms temptation. The addictions of our lives that we turn to, but which never satisfy our real hunger. Drugs, sex, shopping, alcohol, tobacco, and the habits of lying or cheating or stealing. The need to take extreme risks to get an adrenaline rush. They are all stones that we are trying to turn into bread that will feed us. Well, guess what? They don't. Worse than that, they make you even in worse shape than you were before. Just as would be the case with your physical body if you took to eating rocks instead of real food. Turn the stones into bread, if you will. Make them palatable through justification and excuses. They will not nourish your body, your soul, and they will actually create damage. They will never fill the God-shaped hole inside yourself. Let me say that again. They will never fill the God-shaped hole inside you. We beat the temptation by recognizing the truth of Jesus. Words when he said, "I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will never go hungry, and the one who believes in me will never go thirsty." The Psalms tell us over and over again that God is the one who provides food in due season for every living thing. If you are trying to find satisfaction elsewhere, you will never even start to climb that mountain. You are beating the bushes all around the base of the mountain, looking for the wrong things. Look up. The light shining down will show you the one place at the base of the mountain where there is a path. Go there, even if it is hard. Don't spend your money and your labor for that which is not bread. Feed on the bread of life. From the plain, the devil takes Jesus to the city, up to the rooftop of the temple, suggesting that he prove his importance to God by jumping off and getting the angels to catch him. This is a higher level of temptation, and it takes advantage of what we learned back at the first level. By this point, we know what feeds us and what doesn't. We took a step out in faith to see if God would provide nourishment and satisfaction. If we left the stones behind, God did provide. And that was exciting. We began to climb eagerly, wanting to get to the top. The path is plain before us, but sometimes it looks like it's too hard. And we think, I know, now that I have gone up to the mountain, but there are other ways to go. That path over there looks a little bit easier. God will provide for me. The second temptation is the temptation to be irresponsible and let God pick up the pieces from our dumb decisions. I can jump off the temple roof and God will catch me, certainly. The world is full of well-meaning Christian folks who jump off roofs and then complain to God why they are paralyzed for life. At this level, we are tempted to become the spoiled children of God, expecting that God will pick up our messes, even if we spend the whole day watching TV. Examine your life. Are you living beyond your means, expecting God to bail you out financially? Are you neglecting or abusing your body, thinking God will not let disease or anything else hurt you? Are you involved in a risky relationship, thinking God will change things and make it okay? Are you a spoiled child of God, never moving out on your own? If we ever want to get to the top of the mountain, we have to quit expecting God to do the climbing for us. God gives us strength and nourishment and all we need for the journey. But the journey itself is ours to choose and ours to make. And then comes the summit. This is the hardest test of all. Who will you worship? In one sense, it is the same question that we faced at the bottom of the mountain. Will we look to God or to other things? But here at the top, the temptation is more subtle. At the bottom, we faced off with the things that everybody knows will ruin you. At the top, our choices are all good options. The question at the top is, what is your priority? Out of all the good things in the world, who gets top billing? We look around. Choice is family. We could put family first. Nothing comes before family. We could put financial gain in front. Not in a destructive way, certainly, like at the bottom of the mountain. But if I dedicated more time to my work and brought in more income, if I really made great investment decisions, that was my priority, just think of the good that I could do in the world. I could start a foundation to help the poor. I could fund a chair at the university. I could give so much more to the church. Ah, the church. The church itself is at the top, vying on our top position. I can make my work for the church and the survival of my church priority number one. There are other less important things that I could be doing. I could drop those and volunteer more time at church. That is really where my allegiance belongs. The church and God are not the same thing. Or it might be some other worthy cause that would like to be the most important thing in our lives. It might even be some other person. What sets off the temptation at the top of the mountain is that they are all good things. None of them are things that should be ignored. All need attention and some level of priority. This is the final test. The final sorting out of whether we are truly committed to living out the words of Deuteronomy 6, which the Jews call Shema. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. All, Jesus said. Seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Then all things, other things, will be given to you as well. It's like buttoning a shirt. If you get the top button right, all the others will fall into place. If you keep the main thing, life will fall into place. If you miss that top button, you'll go looking around like a dork for the rest of the day. And yes, I've done it. Ditto for your spiritual life. Worship the Lord your God and serve God only. When Jesus passed that test, the devil left him and the angels came and ministered to him. Now that's amazing. You get the devil to go away by passing the test. The angels come to the minister to minister when we finally prove that God is the most important. God is our first priority. If we make something or someone else number one, then look to them for support. It might last for a while, but other things will let you down. There will come a time when we need to be ministered to, and they are not there. They can't be, and it's unrealistic to expect them to. They are not God, only God, with a myriad of angels, can be there to minister to us each and every time that we need it. But if we prefer to look elsewhere, God will abide by our decision and hold off until we get our priorities straight. God comes by invitation and by our choice, not by force. The story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness is the story of our spiritual growth. It is what Jesus must prove before he is sent out into ministry. And so it is with us. If we want to be disciples, our first task is to climb the mountain of temptation. To learn first that God alone can nourish us. To learn second that we have to do our part of the climbing. And to learn lastly that even though many wonderful things clamor for our attention, we need to make God absolutely and unquestionably first in our lives. Then the angels will come and strengthen us. Where are you on the mountain? Do you dare to climb higher? Amen.